When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In my opinion, parents should not let their kids watch Pokemon, play Pokemon, buy Pokemon cards, have anything whatsoever to do with Pokemon, because the message is violence.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here, joining you, Tommy. I'm very excited to talk about a big game today.
Okay.
One of the biggest games out there.
Here we go.
The game of... life.
Oh.
I just want to catch up with my friends, Tommy Dasilo and Adam Knox.
That's me, the other one.
I'd be shocked if you haven't done that one before over the years.
I'd be shocked if he committed to doing it this time.
Yeah. I was going to maybe just say Pika or something like that. But
well,
you know.
Pikachu doesn't even say Pika.
Yeah.
These days.
Yes.
These days.
Man, you can't get away with saying anything anymore. Pikachu doesn't even say, he says bigger.
Yeah. Mm. Pika.
Which does sound like how the actor said it in Pokemon. Right. Pika.
But this isn't like a translation by someone else. This is like been made from within. Like they should know.
Yeah. Well, and they've gone bigger.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say like all the Pokemon came out. We'll talk about it later. But like,
I think people know. Think people know.
Well, it came out like a week ago. We've been playing it heaps. I really like it. I think we all like Pokemon and we'll talk about it later. But all of the Pokemon don't do their... I've always waited for Pokemon to switch to the point where they get... actors like the show to record them going like, oh, Machop or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. They're
still going.
They
sounded like an 8-bit Game Boy.
Yeah. They made a decision to just have it be uniform across all the games dating back to a 4-bit cartridge.
Yeah.
And they'll never upgrade.
But the title of this one is different. Pokemon Bigger, Longer and Uncut. So they've at least, you know, moved a little bit in a different direction.
I caught Saddam last night. That was pretty exciting. Waves his little pink dick around. That's a cool little move that he has. Speaking of comedies, let's quickly plug that we're all doing comedy shows coming up. Live comedy shows.
We are.
That you can come and see in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Mm.
I've got my show Turtle Island that's on March 30th until April the 10th, 7 p.m. at the Cooper's Inn.
Okay.
And you guys have your show Chimp Cop in Imposter Syndrome.
Yes, that is running.
No. Chimp Cop's not in it.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Well, I mean like the Chimp Cop crew.
Chimp Cop.
Sure.
Yeah. Chimp Cop presents Imposter Syndrome, I believe, is the...
come on. B-I-G-A is how it's pronounced.
Chimp Cop. We're running from the 1st of April to the 24th of April.
Sounds about right.
Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights at TIC Swanston, which is inside the Nicholas building. It is a sick old building. And we're
hoping it makes it to April.
It's
sick and old, but hopefully, you know, hang in there.
But yeah, if you're one
it's
of the people...
It's rare that a plug for the show focuses more on the architecture of the venue that it's in than the actual gig itself.
We're doing it like a comedy review where they come in and they're like, well, the drinks were cheap and I was hot that day, so I didn't like it.
But it's not a big well-known venue, I don't think. So, you know, I want to make sure people know where it is. And if you've never seen what we used to do, for like 5 years in a row, 4 years in a row, we do like a comedy play. We like make up a fake funny movie and we perform it on stage. I think a lot of listeners have only seen when we did a sketch show, but we do like a mini movie sort of thing.
Yeah.
A comedy play. You ever seen Knocked Up?
Yeah.
It's like that. Like a comedy play.
Yeah.
Who's people pretending to do stuff, but it's funny.
Right. Yes. Who's the Katherine Heigl of Chimp Cop then?
Probably Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
Probably Tim Clark.
What was that thing about Katherine Heigl stealing shit? Do you remember she was like, people were like, I think she walked into a jewelry shop and took it.
Yeah. Or are you thinking of Winona Ryder?
I think a bunch of people have done it.
Winona Ryder actually got done for it.
Yeah.
That's high stakes. Being famous and being a klepto at the same time. That's the thrill of it.
Like, what's his name who died recently? Rest in peace. from the Jinx.
Oh, Robert Durst.
Oh, Robert Durst.
That's how he got.
Yeah.
That's how OJ got. Yeah. He stole his stuff back.
Yeah, well, that's not kleptomania. That's him being psycho and just wanting his own memorabilia back.
Yeah, that's more like mania. Just general regular mania. Yeah.
Actual mania.
General mania.
But yeah, comedyfestival.com.au for tickets to those shows. I'm also in Adelaide, hopefully Perth at some point, in Brisbane and Sydney, which you can find on my website, tommydasilo.com.
How'd you come up with that name?
My website?
Yeah.
Well, actually, great question.
It's actually quite a story.
Ben's been helping me with this over the last fortnight. Genuine answer is I came up with that domain by wrestling control of it back from the Chinese.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I forgot to pay a bill. I think what happened was I lost my card and I got a new one.
Oh, sure. When your identity got stolen via tommydasilo.com.
Yeah. And then they were trying to like auto bill me and I just missed that it was like they were putting in an old card. And so it lapsed, and in that period, someone else bought it, which I kind of have for a while have been like, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, and then now with doing a bunch of shows, I'm like, I got to get it all set up. And
websites are back. Now
spot.
The QR codes are big. Yeah. Websites are back.
Yep. Well, for a while, it was just like, well, people are on the socials and they find everything there anyway.
Exactly.
And then you sort of start to go, I hate being on these.
Yes.
Why don't I just get the website up and running again? And then, yeah, found that it had just been parked by a Chinese company that had just. The amount of hoops that you have to jump through to get something back that has only been bought in order to extort you.
Yeah, and I ended up just going, ask OJ. Yeah. Like we said, that's a horrible situation.
Yeah. Tommy and I, we bailed up a bunch of Chinese website owners in a hotel room and, you know... yada yada yada. We got it back.
I registered the domain.
They weren't hostages. We just said you're not allowed to leave.
Yeah, true. Until you give it back, and they did, and now Tommy's going to jail for 40 years.
Did you get it back without paying the extortion fee?
No.
I just had to pay.
We got it back. Listen to this. Clever story.
Yeah.
I got blackmailed successfully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, what do you go, okay, there's not really because the companies are all very unhelpful. So I went, all right, I've just got to cop this. I'll pay it. And I paid it. But then the company that sold it to me, they're like, oh, we've got to wait a couple of weeks because, you know, we've got to be fair to the people who've bought it. And it's like, they've only bought it to extort me. They've got their money. How is this not instantaneous?
There's nothing there. There's
Why
gotta
are you
just
bending
be
over backwards to help them?
Just like a gif of a crane and like the flashing siren saying under construction must have been the only thing there.
This is mine. It's my it's my fake name that sounds like a nationality that I'm not. I'm entitled to it. Give it to me. But yeah, I think that hopefully that's up by now. Anyway,
surely, yeah.
Yeah, should be.
Okay, TommyDasilo.com.
Yep. Yeah. You can log on and now you've got the full backstory.
Yes.
This is like going into the last Halo game having read all the novels. Now you've got all the like stuff that happened in the margins because this stuff isn't mentioned on the website itself.
No.
You need to have done some extra reading to get their full backstory.
I might add a page.
Yeah.
Clip this out and have it like auto-playing like a really old website.
Like a MySpace profile song.
Yeah.
But yeah, bit of news this week. Probably the biggest story of the week, PlayStation.
Yes.
Acquiring, speaking of Halo, Bungie.
It's so weird. Like other people have noted it, obviously, but now, if compared to 20 years ago, the Halo people belong to Sony.
Yep.
But they're not the Halo people anymore. And Crash Bandicoot belongs to Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's all changed hands and flipped around. And it's only the beginning. You know, this Activision one from a bit ago and now Bungie being bought by Sony is apparently only the beginning of these big acquisitions that are all in the works and stuff. It's
Keely
a very...
got on Twitter and was like, there's the ink is drying on a few other of these, which I hated that. Like,
I've heard of a few and I still say that I'm a journalist, but I couldn't say.
Yeah. Because I only get this information by being really friendly and giving like ad time to these people. Yeah.
It reminded me of back in the day in the entertainment lift ad in the newspapers, how there'd always be Nui Tokoa going, mark my words, Prince is days away from signing on to do the big day out. And then it like never materialized, but it was like always this like insider knowledge. It's like, you don't know. Shut up.
Right.
It's like you ever read The Blinds? And it's just gossip. Yeah, it's just purely gossip. Like, someone famous was a bit of a dick to me.
Yeah. I saw this Aussie Hollywood actor coming out of a gay club.
Certain actor with the surname rhyming with Blagaprio is dating somebody quite young.
Yeah.
I've got the scoop. Oh, yeah, well done.
Mm. But like Keely saying that as if he's got some deep insider knowledge. It's right. Like, oh, really? In an industry that brings in so much money,
right.
You mean there's some deals going on, are there?
And while they've got this like carte blanche to just fucking monopolize as much as they can manage to pay for it at the moment, like seemingly no trouble with this stuff. Nothing. No one raising any questions about are you allowed to? Like,
there was speculation that there would be questions raised about Activision Blizzard, and there weren't.
I've read some stuff about like when it comes to like Capcom or whatever, Japanese companies, it will be more difficult to acquire them because of Japanese laws.
Right.
But Sony has a large American branch, and like the Sony Computer Entertainment America, I think, is the bit that did this. And all of those different Sony things are kind of different companies.
And the computer entertainment branch of Sony is, I think, the biggest and most profitable branch of that company at the moment.
It could be. Yeah. There's the motion picture stuff, I guess, might be big too, but
I don't know if it's probably as profitable,
not,
right?
Probably not Video by games. Bungie for fucking, what is it, $6 billion or $3
billion? Yeah.
Some amount that is like absurd how well Destiny 2 must be doing.
Yes.
Right.
For it to be like so much more money than I thought Bungie was worth.
And again, with all this stuff, it's still very unclear what this actually means.
Right.
Practically for gamers, what the end result is really going to be. Their wording of it was like, in their like kind of statement about it, in Sony's statement about it, they're very like not kind of labeling it as like a we've acquired it. It's like we're partnering.
Right.
We're working together.
They've joined the family.
Yeah, their logo is like, you know, PlayStation Studios X Bungie or whatever. They're being very like, we're working with them. They're being less, feels like they kind of want it less out there as like a we're just going around buying them up because we can.
Yeah.
But they said that, you know, Destiny will stay on all different platforms and that stuff's not going to change. It's not a PlayStation exclusive. Mm. They're apparently working on some new IP that, like, who knows, might be. But, like, do you remember a few years ago, not that long ago, like 3 years ago, Bungie bought their independence from Activision for $200 million?
Right.
Do you remember that?
No.
They were part of Activision, and then Bungie was like, we want to go independent, and they bought, I guess, the property of Destiny, maybe,
from
Activision, and went solo, and now they're back with Sony.
Right.
Yeah. So that's crazy to me. The valuation of Destiny is a thing being around $200 million, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
And now, not that long later, it was like $3.9 billion I don't understand how the money works.
It's got to be more to do with like they just want whatever their next thing is,
and that's you project the next exclusive. 5 years as part of how much you value a company at and all that sort of shit. But yeah, I agreed.
They must hate the timing of it, because this would have been going on in the background. This would have been being negotiated on for quite some time, you would have to imagine.
Yeah.
But now, just because of the timing of it, it does look very reactionary.
Yes.
Like, it was 2 weeks ago, right? Activision Microsoft thing. So it's like a lot of people would be going, oh yeah, they're scared. But it's like, no, this would have been, they didn't just cook this up 13 days ago and go, shit, we'd better get, we'd better get a deal going.
Yeah.
But it does make them look like they're sort of doing this to just kind of counter Microsoft's move.
And I suppose they are, but we're just seeing it a year later or whatever negotiations take.
It's like a minuscule fraction of the Activision deal. Like, that wasn't that like $60 billion?
Yeah.
This
it's like
not
a 20th of it or some. And but it makes sense that they would want someone like Bungie, not only just because Destiny makes a lot of money, especially compared to how much effort they put into that thing, but the fact that that can fill something that Sony's first party stuff especially doesn't really have, which is those kind of service games and ongoing multiplayer type of games, which Sony doesn't have much of that.
They are good at, like, they have like a really great first party kind of roster of studios and IPs.
Mm.
So it just seems like them getting the developer who can do really good stuff, fundamentally are capable of it, to maybe they got a whiff of what the next thing they're working on is, what the other IP, and they went, that would fit really well alongside our other franchises, and it fills a gap in because all this stuff, people always say their big thing is like Sony's all just mostly just third person kind of stuff. So
third person single player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So filling that gap would make sense. They just go, they are good at picking up talented
studios.
And if
they make money, why wouldn't you just want that money coming to you anyway? Yeah. Like, that's what it all is, ultimately.
I think it's that, and I think it is. I know that I'm painting this to be reactionary, but if Microsoft takes in Activision and Call of Duty and they're saying, no, we're honoring multi-platform deals for the next year.
Right.
What if at some stage Call of Duty, especially the multiplayer, like the war zones and the stuff like that, if that does become restricted to Xbox and PC, Sony needs an FPS that is also a game as a service.
And that's the thing. Like, even though they're saying, yeah, we'll put it everywhere, it does feel like they're all getting similar types of cannons lined up on each ship.
Absolutely.
And going like, we'll let you use the cannon whenever you want. But then when they want to sail away, they can.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, it will keep going. There's no reason to think that there won't be more stuff. So, like, Sony, if those Japanese companies are more difficult to acquire but could still be bought, Sony has the relationships with those companies, I would imagine, more than Microsoft does too.
Yeah, big time. For sure.
Yeah, I would say the Microsoft side of it is probably basically non-existent.
Right. So if a Capcom was up for grabs, then Sony would be the one you'd imagine that would have an easier time doing that than Microsoft. They've both got the money for it.
Yeah.
Sega, I guess, have a closer relationship with Microsoft, weirdly, because like the Xbox was weirdly tied in with the Dreamcast and shit when that came out.
Right.
So maybe, but who fucking
knows? I just
can't
see those big Japanese companies really having an interest in it though.
Especially
when Capcom. When you look at the number of franchises that Capcom have, I just can't really see it being appealing to them to align themselves with one.
How does it benefit them?
Yeah.
They had that big leak with years of projected games coming out that you would imagine would have been affected by a potential acquisition like this. But it seemed like it was all Capcom all the time on their own. And then also them saying, like, oh, we kind of see the PC as our primary platform going forward. Do you remember that? They were like, so yeah, they do seem independent. And when you
they
look
get to play the field a little bit, like they presumably they got some money from Nintendo for Monster Hunter Rise, but then they still get to put it out on the PC and then that's all them. Like,
And then companies like Konami and stuff where they didn't give a shit about making a game for 10 years.
Yeah.
And still were like, nah, but we don't want to give them to you. We'll keep them. So it does seem like it's just not going to happen there. But if they're going to buy, like, maybe someone buys fucking EA.
Yeah.
Maybe what are the other big ones in America?
I mean,
or like
I think
that
Microsoft will be likely to buy EA if anyone was. Mm. They already have them on Game Pass.
If you could buy like a Take-Two and get Grand Theft Auto and shit, you'd try. So
absolutely.
Maybe they're all going to be, what's that word? Not conglomerated, but all put in the same bucket.
Amalgamated. Yeah.
Acquired. Condensed. It's like a word like condensed. What's that word? Consolidated is maybe the thing I think
congealed.
Of. No. Congealed. They're all going to be gooped up.
They're
into
all going to be sweetened and condensed.
Yeah. There'll be two balls in Nintendo at some point.
Which
like
is bad. I know people don't like to talk about it because they are still like, well, great, Call of Duty on Game Pass and, you know, Bethesda on Game Pass and Bungie on PlayStation Plus and maybe an exclusive new first-person shooter on PlayStation. But, like, you know, in Australia we have, like, two supermarket companies that are, one is Woolworths Group, which is massive. It's a global company, and Coles Meyer, and they do stuff like price gouge milk and shit like that, you know?
Like,
it's bad.
The distributors have no other option of who to go to. So if you're running a place that makes supermarket shit, like, you know, aisles, if you're an aisle factory, you don't have that many people to sell to, and they're both trying to sell them at the cheapest. And, like, it can be really beneficial in the short term is the thing.
Yes.
A company like Uber or whatever, look at people who've come along. So taxis had a monopoly. Uber comes along and, like, it's cheaper to get an Uber. They were paying their drivers all right at the start, all of that sort of thing. And then the second they tip over into that thing where they're like, well, we don't have any competition anymore.
Yeah, the majority market share.
Prices go up, the quality goes down, and everything shifts. Yeah. People don't get paid as much. So. Yeah.
And now it's sick because the cabs are back advertising themselves, in Melbourne at least, in a big way. And their marketing campaign now is just like, we're better than Uber.
Yeah.
No surging, none of this. Yeah. Not, like, literally just guess all the what? Mistakes
we'll turn
they
up.
Made. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Which yeah. is, yeah, I mean, you're. It's interesting, like...
Now you're going to get Uber drivers punching taxi drivers on yeah. videos that you'll see, and it's going to... It's cyclical.
But also, because of that, taxi drivers and Uber drivers are going to get paid less and less, exactly. right? Like, that is where the impacts will come.
Yeah.
And with the supermarket analogy, like... They end up pushing out any independent companies to make their own stuff and price it lower to price out competition.
Especially right. in the world of video games, when you're talking about all these, like Activision hiring those like union busting groups yeah. and all
yeah.
that stuff,
yeah.
and poor working conditions for and so on. I mean, it's not poor working conditions like you get in other parts of the world, but yes. whatever. Try and make them the best that you can in the situation that it is.
Yeah.
And anyway, if you are in the position where there's two companies, you have one opportunity to say, well, fuck you, I'll go work at the other place.
Yep.
And after that, they're like, okay, well, we're the last one you can work at. We'll give you
$3. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah
you know
yeah.
what? Fuck off.
right.
Actually. Right. So, yeah, you need... It's weird.
It's
but,
interesting because yeah. you had the generation of the PlayStation 3 and the 360
yeah. mm-hmm.
being the first one that was like... really cross-platform, like right. multi-platform games coming out. Like,
yeah, you had it on the like the PS2 and the Xbox some yeah, as well. But yeah, that's sort
that's
of the last
the
20 years
generation
is like
where it really, really sinks in. And it's right. interesting because if every developer is just owned by ultimately just Sony or Microsoft, because right. I can't see Nintendo bothering to get in on this action, really.
No.
No.
I don't see them understanding it until 2045.
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Does that mean that you then get back to a point where there isn't, like, there's not these games coming out on every platform? Like, it does become right. a lot more of, like, a
yeah.
segmented. Because at the moment, you can pick a console if you only have the money for one based on the exclusives that you really like the handful of first-party stuff that you really like. But by and large, a lot of the big stuff does come out on both.
Yeah.
But if it's a point where you've got to pick, like, genuinely, it's like, it, you know what I mean? It is like a line
yeah.
in the sand.
Yeah. It's back to, like, Sega and Nintendo in yeah. the early 90s, where yeah. it's like, no, these are different kinds of games and you can only play them on that console.
I like shooters, so I've got an Xbox because right. that's the only place that shooters live now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's definitely, like... It's so strange them being like with Microsoft with Activision and Sony with Bungie now being like, no, we'll put them out on the other stuff. But I feel like when Microsoft got ZeniMax and Bethesda, they were like, yeah, of course this is about exclusives.
Yeah.
The next fucking Elder Scrolls is coming out on an Xbox.
They very much yeah. were, yeah.
They've got to say that early
and
on because
these
they
will
want...
happen
yeah.
again. That yeah. there's no way that the overall plan
right.
is to make less money.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say that early on because they're excited about making this big announcement and they yes. don't want it to be tainted by the negativity of people being able to say that.
And they probably have contracts that
like,
already exist yeah, for
yeah,
two
for
or three
sure.
more years.
Yeah.
yeah. But part of like what's most fun about gaming is that the community of it, right, when you're playing something that you feel like it, like we find it with this podcast, when something big comes out that's that's on everything and everyone's kind of playing it all at once, it's
yeah.
fun to talk about and it's like that ultimately people lose out if you know, if the audience is diluted and there's less of you all sharing in that communal experience at the one time, it becomes, you know, there's just not as many people to talk about it with.
Yeah.
And that's less fun. Like, yeah. it's kind of less enjoyable.
Who knows? Come and re-listen to this podcast again when it is 2026.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you'll see if we're right or if we're too cynical.
Something that might be coming out in 2026 is Yacht Club Games' new endeavor that they announced during the week.
Yep.
They had a little live stream thing where they showed some project on Shovel Knight Dig. And they also, announced this new game, Mina, the Hollower. It's a little top-down Zelda kind of thingy. Shovel Knight is all NES-style graphics. This is like a Game Boy Color kind of thing that they're doing.
Right.
And it looks great. I think it'll be, like, the Shovel Knight games are all so good. I really think this will be another great one. It's up
and
on
it's
Kickstarter at the moment, if right. you want to back it.
It's their first non-Shovel Knight game.
It's their first
as well,
non-Shovel
right?
Knight thing, yeah. And it looks to have all the same kind of personality and flavor, but like a yeah bit of a different gameplay style. I'm super into it. I think it'll be a long way off, but yeah, I'm gonna back it. I think it they've shown that they're
okay.
a great developer.
Mm.
Yeah, it might not be on some people's radar because it wasn't like a huge announcement from the week, but if you've liked any Shovel Knight stuff, maybe look this one up and there's some pretty cool different rewards.
Yeah, on the Kickstarter.
On the Kickstarter, there's high enough ones where you can like... There's ones where you can have your name inserted in there.
Yes.
Pretty standard stuff. But then there's ones where you can like direct a bit of it with them. Like they'll have like a side quest or whatever that you get to like hop on.
Okay.
And it, you know, obviously they have to really pepper it with like, you know, to an extent.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
We'll
you
take it on board.
You can't sit and make Shovel Knight. So like right. We'll tell you what's good yeah. about your idea.
But I thought that was pretty cool. There's bits where you can kind of like ride side saddle and have input of like you can have ideas yeah. for like little items and stuff that mm-hmm. could be cool. And
this does look good. So I hadn't watched like the trailer for this. The little mouse character.
Yep.
Mina the Hollower.
And the big the hook
that,
is...
By the way, the title is what Jar Jar Binks says when he's telling someone that he's not a type of person who says hello.
Oh, I saw you get just go to another place after I said the name.
Yeah.
And I knew something like that.
My
was
eyes
on the boil.
Roll back into my head and my tongue went really long
Mina,
and picked
Mina,
up
Misa,
an apple.
Misa,
yeah,
Mina,
I
okay.
felt like I could see like kind of your ghost just kind of like drift up out of your body into the atmosphere.
A quill and a parchment in its hand. Well, that's what it was coming up with. Jar Jar Binks would say, Mina the Hollower.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks like the kind of the main sort of like hook of it or sort of gimmick is you kind of like burrow around in the ground as like your little attack
right.
kind of thing.
Right. And it's great that they really have made it look like, as Shovel Knight did for the NES, a Game Boy Color sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm.
With like the little flip when the character jumps is very similar to yep. Link to Link in Zelda. And like the Oracle of Seasons and whatever
oh, yeah,
games
yeah.
it looks right. kind of like.
Yeah, they've got a big thing great. On the Kickstarter or on their socials maybe where they talk about how there are like they really strictly adhere to like the number of pixels that were in sprites for Game Boy
it
Color
really
games,
shows
the number
it
of
works.
Colors that each yeah. It's on a it's crisper and it's refined and they're
and
doing
widescreen
more
and
like
whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they're doing
right.
more stuff on screen than it could have handled, but they in terms of like the actual aesthetic design they really adhere to what yeah. was going on back then. So it's like yeah, like the design of Shovel Knight was so good and this having like RPG-ish kind of stuff like leveling up and bit you know different story and yeah, just a different kind of yeah. template that they're having a go at. I think it'll be cool.
I hope it's good because they're going to make 15 of them after this one yeah. comes out. So
well, maybe it'll be a thing where, you know, all the Shovel Knights, if you bought that treasured, if you bought it
right.
early on, you just ended up getting all of them for free. So
yeah,
they do
right.
the same thing with this. I got to say, I really was tempted to throw in a big wad of cash to be able to co-direct a little bit of it. It's the first.
How much is that tier?
It's the first like high tier Kickstarter thing that I've ever really been. You know, often it's like,
right.
I wouldn't mind getting the t-shirt. That's 30 right. bucks. That'll do. And then everything
yeah.
under that, it's like, I don't really care. But like,
yeah.
actually being like, actually having the experience of sitting in and being like, I could pitch some good ideas, I reckon.
Mm, mm.
But I mean, that would be brutal if you pay that money and they
how
just
about you guys get your
you.
Website stolen for a section of it?
Okay, the main boss, the Chinese. that would be brutal if you pay that money and you think you've got these like mad ideas
yeah.
and then you go on and they just find you insufferable. And it's like you get excitedly when it comes out, you get up to your quest and it's like, none of it's in there. And you're the villain. They've
yeah,
made you.
Yeah, yeah,
they've
yeah.
like taken a picture of you.
I'm going to give you some bad news here, Tommy. Those higher ones
they're
have
all gone?
Limited backers and they're all taken.
They're all gone.
How much was it?
So for $3,000 US, there was a director for a day thing where you could direct. Oh, that's very good of you. They also give you the digital wallpaper in that tier for the $3,000 US tier,
yes.
which is about $4,206 Australian dollars.
Okay, right. That's too much.
Yeah, that is a lot of money.
You get to design a major element of the game, like a mini boss quest, sidearm, or big enemy. That had three backers.
Yeah, right.
And then you could do an NPC thing, or a trinket item, or a fodder enemy, mm-hmm. smaller directing thing.
Yep.
Seven people did that. Mm-hmm. That was for $1,000 US. For $750, you got to like do a smaller thing than that. So
like, yeah,
okay.
But it was like
$750 is not a crazy.
It's
thing
not crazy
for
a game that it's like I love this developer. I'm sure
want,
I'm
yeah.
going to end up loving this game and
exactly.
going like yeah. Part of it is this game will live on for a very long time, and a big chunk of it is just all me. That's cool.
Yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
really seen that on a gaming Kickstarter before.
Well,
not
and
to
limiting
that extent.
It to like 30 people between all of these different ones.
Yeah,
right, right,
yeah.
right.
Makes
yeah.
a lot of sense.
Yes.
But yeah, get on there. If it sounds interesting to you and you want to, you know, you get a copy of it on release. You can't do any of that stuff yet, but I'm sure you can still do the tier where you get a little plush toy. So maybe that's more.
All the others were there, yeah.
The enamel pin,
a physical CD soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which, I guess this is kind of news. Nintendo took down a bunch of soundtracks off of YouTube. Like
they
thousands
love it.
Of them.
Ugh, they love fuck. It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go listen to them on an NES, which we don't sell anymore, or any copies of this game.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. They do love it. They love a good copyright strike.
Oh man.
They could be busy putting together the next Nintendo Direct, but nah. Let's get the Legal Eagles onto it.
Yeah. That and the other kind of news thing, I guess, just to wrap up news here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a fishmonger. To use newspaper to wrap up the fish, I guess.
Sure.
It's not. The and ghost didn't come out of the body to think about that one too
Is the monger doing that, though?
He's monging the fish, and he's wrapping it up in the newspaper for you.
In the newspaper? Really? Okay, yeah. I thought that was more just the fish and chip shop guy.
No.
They still mong fish.
What is monging?
I think that's what they call it when you lose your website to a Chinese.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe let's devote the bonus episode this week to what is monging.
A monger, or I guess you're munging.
Yeah.
Munging. Mung beans.
Yeah. No, it's M-O, it's not M-U.
But you're like a
fish mung. Munger.
Among.
Among us.
Yeah.
Among us.
Gran Turismo 7 is the other news of the...
That's our human interest story at the end of the news. A little car drove around a racetrack.
Not every car gets to drive around its dream course.
DLC in Gran Turismo 7 is going to be a dog on a skateboard.
Yes. Yeah.
They did like a state of play this morning.
Yeah, it went for like 45 minutes or something. It was like a pretty hefty one.
Half an hour.
For just one game.
And it was like very Gran Turismo mood of just like... You know, guy talking calmly going,
yeah,
we put a whole bunch of cars into this Gran Turismo game. Mm-hmm. You can race them around. Let me tell you, they are shiny.
This is going to be good for fans of car culture, I believe he says at one point.
They were saying car enough times that the word car lost meaning for me. And at some point when they were saying cars, I was like, it's fucked that they're called cars. They're everywhere. Cars. And then he keeps saying car, like a bunch of seagulls. Yeah. But it looks like a fun game. Comes out in a month.
Yeah. They've put licenses back in. Which is sick. That was one of my favorite things about the early ones.
Yeah, having to like earn your racing stripes.
Yeah. Well, no, I guess you could earn racing stripes. You could earn different tires if you wanted.
Maybe metallic or matte paint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have matte paint. They spent some time on the ray tracing.
Yes.
Going like, hey, these cars are reflective, dude.
Mm. Yeah. There was some other stuff. I mean, like weather effects, like full simulation of weather and stuff like that.
Kind of listing out like more than 400 cars, which is a good thing because that's down from 6 and 5, which means that they've probably modeled all of these for this game.
Right.
Because 5 and I think 6 still had some like PS2 models in there that they'd sort of upgraded to just get that car count really high.
Okay, right. So they're now just going like, it's not about... It's not about quantity.
And they can update really this one in the future too.
Yes.
But 400 cars is still a fuckload of cars.
And there was like what? How many tracks?
It's like 96 tracks, but like 30 something locations, something like that.
Yeah. Yes. It was 30 something. Yeah, places you can go, but 97. I think they called it layouts, maybe.
Right.
Like track designs. I guess. Which is heaps.
And all over the world looks really nice. They've got some of those like made up tracks from like Gran Turismo 2 back, like Trial Mountain.
Yes.
And stuff like
I think
that.
It's from 1. Because deep forest, Trial Mountain, and like high speed something.
High speed ring.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Which perked my ears up because I played the first one.
I bet it did.
You're known for your perky ears.
Yeah, and my high speed ring.
You got the ears of a 19 year old.
Always getting moved on from trade stations with those high pitched noises.
But and the license thing as well was like, this is a little, not just a nostalgia hit, but it is just bringing back stuff that I like, that is good.
Career mode progression in those PS1 Gran Turismo games, maybe like 4 as well, but like, it is just enough to get that, like, to make, because I know you have a thing with racing games where if the progression and that sort of stuff isn't done right, you like
just
see through
interest.
The matrix and go, I'm just moving forward.
Just driving in circles. Yeah. But yes, I it was very difficult as well. Mm-hmm. I remember those ones where it was like, fuck it, you got to earn it with this shitty car that you only have a certain amount of money to spend on. And once you buy that car, the money's gone. And so you better get used to it. Like it really, it did make it feel like you were working your way through it skill-wise mm-hmm. as much as anything. Whereas, yeah, maybe stuff like Forza, it's like, hey, just jump in the car and drive around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to trying this. I've never really been able to gel with a Grand Turismo.
Grand Tourism.
Downtown Abbey. Yeah. Yeah, I've never really been able to. I've always found them a bit like bit intense.
Right.
Sure.
Bit like they bit are, in depth. Mm. They're simulation-y. Got to be a real car head. But yeah, I think get this and try the career mode and hopefully gel with it, because I do like the overall aesthetic. The yes. very like clean.
It's very
sort
classy.
Of sleek menu system. Little. Very like pristine sort of looking.
Yeah.
Menus and everything.
Very perky.
Yeah, very perky.
Mm. Every only radio station on those cars only plays jazz.
Yes.
Type of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
My big memory of Gran Turismo is the last one that came out.
Sport.
Sport. Mm. Yeah. Mm. In my old share house, we had it, and we had the VR helmet, and watching my housemate Pat play it, and him driving up to a bit where there was a guy standing next to the track. And kind of like looking at him with the helmet on and like trying to give him the finger. He's like, why can't I give him the finger? I'm like, your hands aren't, there's no like, yeah, you're not wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Like, the helmet should just know that I want to flip up the bird.
Tommy's flipping out. Out.
Fucking hell.
But yeah, 1 month's time, I believe.
Yeah.
Gran
cool.
Turismo.
Well, there's nothing coming out between now and then.
Sure,
so.
Small month.
Yeah. We mapped out our next month mm-hmm. plus 2 months of recording schedules
yeah.
the other day, and as of this week, we yeah. are off to the races.
Mapped
yeah.
them out. We're just not going to do any for a couple months.
Yeah,
so skip it.
Yeah.
We'll just put the map out. And
heaps
then that's
and heaps
it.
Of shit coming out.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
what you don't want to skip is this ad read.
Okay, I reckon some people.
I saw someone specifically call out how much they like our ad reads. They said you make them not shit or something.
Yeah, that I person listen. Was representative at manscaped.com.
Not this week.
Nah, well, delete email.
Delete.
Unsend email.
Well, you know, like a nice little tool to help you navigate the internet. Seems like you're having trouble with your email.
I've got bad news about my website. today, and I wish there was some way for me to be more secure and private on the internet.
Well, you've come to the right place, Adam.
Thank God, finally, because that's how I lost my website, because I kept coming in the wrong places.
Well, what you could do
mate,
is you could
I lost
use
something else for coming in the wrong places.
You could use a you could potentially use a VPN to pretend that you're from China.
Yes.
Oh.
And just steal your friend's website yeah. and make them think that a big overseas company did it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Then I could email you, like, not only do we have your website, but I know some of your insecurities.
Yeah.
Website and personal security issues.
Yeah. Well, protect yourself across the board. In terms of the internet, we can't guarantee personal insecurities.
No.
With NordVPN. They're back again. They're sponsoring the show. They are, yeah, as we said, a VPN service. They keep you private and secure on the internet. If you do business, if you're buying website domains, for instance.
Watching YouTube videos where it's like, you know what? This is for Canadians only.
Yes.
You're like, well,
let me watch. Oh, fuck. What was that show?
The one about the petrol station.
Oh, Corner Gas.
Corner Gas.
I yeah. was thinking of the one North.
Letterkenny.
No, I wasn't thinking of Letterkenny.
I'm going to name every Canadian show.
The Mountie one where it's like a Mountie show. But
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle. Let us watch that on YouTube. Or stuff on the BBC, yep. stuff on the ABC.
The CNN YouTube channel where you can watch the fantastic series Stanley Tucci Searching for a Date, which is because of, I guess it's on CNN in America.
Yeah.
And there's no one here in Australia that has a deal with CNN. It is yeah. impossible to legally find in this country.
Bullshit. Well, no, it's not. Not anymore, Tommy.
Mm.
Just sign up with NordVPN and you'll be able to switch your location to wherever you want for stuff like that. So grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/filthy or just use the code filthy when you go to their website and chuck it in at the checkout for up to, get this, 70% off.
Wow.
Okay.
That's fucking insane for something that if you use the internet, you just should have.
Yeah.
So
and usually the deal isn't for most of the amount. Like,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. 70% off and a free month if you put in filthy on NordVPN's website or go to nordvpn.com/filthy. filthy. It's also risk-free. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't know why you'd need your money back, because it just does what it says on the tin.
But yeah. You've got until Gran Turismo 7 comes out yes. to go like, you know what?
Yeah.
I want to risk it.
Yeah.
I'm living dangerously.
Imagine your money back, like you attempting to get the money-back guarantee was like, yeah, got onto the BBC website, hated what I watched.
Yeah. Who's this fucking Gervais guy?
All these accents are so fucking annoying, honestly.
Yeah, they sound dumb. I'd like my money back. Thanks. I did not enjoy my experience over on the Beeb.
The BBC, these people were all a lot smaller and whiter than the thing I was looking for.
Yes.
By typing in BB.
BBC.
Oh, fantastic.
Do you understand what I've done?
Yes.
I wonder if their internal...
Pokemon!
I wonder if their internal conversations in there when that slang term started going around, like, should we change the name of our TV station?
Not the Beeb. Let's just move to Manchester. Yeah, Pokemon's out, huh? Yeah.
Pokemon Legends...
Arceus, I think.
Or yeah. Arceus.
I looked this up at some point.
I believe
point.
It's Arceus.
Arceus, I think.
Which I hate because it should be Arceus.
Well, I read it as Arceus, especially because it's like the ancient god Pokemon.
Yes.
Archaic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Makes sense, you know. Yeah.
I mean, we can all agree. We can't agree on how it's pronounced, but I think we can all agree. Terrible title.
Yeah, yeah. Call it like Pokemon Legends.
Pokemon Legends. It's the first one.
But
assuming
even the Legends,
this is like a new franchise. Mm.
Do you want to hear the British pronunciation
the
according
British?
To Google? That's
what would
it's
they
called.
Know about it?
Oh, they Sword and Shield set there and now they think they know how to pronounce all the fucking names of them.
Wibbly wobbly. All right, here's the British pronunciation of it, apparently.
Arceus.
Arceus.
Let's we've got American too. Let's see.
Arceus.
Oh.
Oh. Which side of the pond are you from?
I'm from Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do
well,
they say
he's
it
called something different there. The Pokemon has a different name, I think.
Oh, okay.
There.
You know what? Yeah. Looking up a couple of them, because it's catching some of them during the week, and then they're ready to evolve. And I'm like, am I going to like what it evolves into? And so doing a little Google to find out what they evolve into. And then it'll bring up like a little wiki thing that's got their Japanese name on it. Japanese name, always cooler.
Oh, yeah.
They've always got much cooler names in the Japanese.
Arceus is it how it's written in the katakana.
Arceus.
Okay. Arceus.
I swear that someone has posted about it in our Facebook Patreon group and they said the latest thing, official thing from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like a clip or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, they weighed in.
Yeah. It's pronounced Arceus. But in a couple of previous things, it was pronounced Arceus.
So, Pokemon Legends Amadeus.
I've seen a few people go like, you know what? It really is high time that they bring voice acting into these games. And honestly, I couldn't, because it's like with no voice acting, it's the same with Zelda. Like you don't have to worry about like bad acting or anything. And it's like, it's kind of in your head. I actually don't mind it. I find it kind of cool and quaint and old school. But if this had voice acting in it, this would not be a conversation.
Yes. No, but what you do is get every character in the game to say it a bit differently.
Yes.
Go through and some of them are like, Pikachu. And just really fuck everything
up. It's like how British people say tacos.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's Mario. It's Yoshi.
Yeah. It's Sega.
Anyway, whatever it is, it's a fun game.
It's a fun-ass game.
You can't mispronounce that.
It's a
foon game.
Everyone I've seen online generally seems to be really enjoying it from like reviews and from people in our Discord and Facebook. Even the people who are the diehards who still loved Sword and Shield and were like, it's doing the same thing, but I don't care because I just love playing this again and again and again. Those are the people that you would think would be most likely to be like, I don't like this change of direction. But even real diehards like that are like, yeah, this breath of fresh air is fucking great.
They've somehow managed to nail that middle ground level of like the battles are still basically exactly the same as Pokemon battles have always been.
Yep.
But everything that has needed to change for maybe 15 years now or something for like that, the stuff that had become stale at whatever point in Pokemon you think personally that it had become stale.
Yeah, after Red and Blue.
So for 20 years, all the things that have changed that needed to change kind of have.
So
in this
basically,
one.
Let's give people a bit of an overview of what you're doing, because I think some people might still, because they were a little like they didn't really give away too much about what the actual moment.
It was
moment
muddy.
Gameplay was.
They're like messaging about it. Was all
people were. I saw a lot of people pointing out like, oh, I've learned more about this from the leak.
Right.
That happened
right.
a week beforehand that showed gameplay than I did from any marketing.
Because I was really into it in the first reveal. Then when it looked like it did just have the more traditional battling, I thought, oh, this is just going to be this will just be stale in all those kind of... Like, I was a little up and down on whether it was going to be enjoyable. But so basically, it's set well in the past. It's early days of hunting and catching these things. And
people are kind of like afraid of Pokemon. Yep. They're definitely not integrated with their society, with humans and Pokemon aren't together.
Yep.
There's a wild.
Yep.
Yes.
And there's people who are like, what the fuck is a Growlithe?
Yeah, occasionally someone will have a Pokemon friend. Occasionally in history someone would like tame a lion.
Yeah.
But you're sort of end up, you land and become taken into
a modern day person traveling back in time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you fall through a rift in the sky.
And the where you land is sort of with a group who are like furthering the study of Pokemon. They're the first people to use Pokemon Pokeballs, it seems like. Like, this is all very new.
You join a group called the Survey Corps.
Yes.
I think Core. I don't want to get into more pronunciation.
I know it's Core. It sounds so much more fun to say it as Corps.
Survey Corps is what a detective has to do.
Yeah. Galaxy Team, right? Specifically?
Galaxy Team.
And so it's all Diamond and Pearl shit because there's like the Diamond Clan, the Pearl Clan.
Yep.
And it's all Pokemon-y shit. But yeah, in the past, which is a really effective... like they use the setting well for visual aesthetic things with like kind of ancient Japanese looking painting kind of writing.
Sure, all the architecture and stuff, obviously.
Your Pokedex is just a scrapbook.
Yeah.
It's just paper. Yep. Yeah.
And it gives you like a fresh thing of why people are like, it doesn't make sense when you think about it for too long, why you're having to fill out a new Pokedex in the future. When everyone knows, like, Pokemon are the Flintstones animals and, like, everyone uses Pokemon for everything.
Right. You're not literally discovering these. You're just...
Yeah. And it's just a cool in-world thing to go have people be, like, wowed by a Pidgey or whatever.
So there's no going to gyms. There's progression, but there's not the typical kind of RPG, go here, go here, go here. You unlock new areas and basically the bulk of the gameplay is go into a wild area, there's various little Pokemon running around, and then you have to fill out their page of the Pokedex doing different tasks, which for all of them, there'll be like a couple that are universal. So catch X number of them, battle X number of them, but then they'll all have a bunch of like unique little ones, like catch one without it seeing you, catch one at night, give it food, watch it use this attack.
Some of them are tied to like the about, I think, 90 side quests that there are.
Yep.
Most of which aren't that in depth or whatever. Most of them are someone in town going like, hey, can you show me a fucking Abra?
Yeah.
Can you show me
a big Buizel?
Yeah.
I want to see one of them little Buizels. I know there's big ass Buizels.
I mean, those are the more interesting ones, honestly. Some of them are literally like, can you bring me a mushroom?
Yeah, true.
But they, you know, sometimes tie into that thing and then you're upping that research level of a Pokemon, the more little
tasks. So each little task that you do, you report back and you get graded, and then at a certain point you hit a research level 10, which is when that Pokemon's page of your Pokedex is considered complete and you can move on.
And it's not when you've completed everything that you could.
No.
It's like you only have to get a certain number of points. And so I went through and fucking maxed out Bidoof.
Nice.
Just to see what would happen. And the only difference is that you get a little sparkly Pokeball emblem instead of the regular complete Pokeball emblem there. So don't bother doing it.
Right. Yeah. So it's not an open world game in the sense that you can travel completely across this open world.
You've got several distinct areas that you can go to that are large and that you travel around. But yes, it's
but it is open world.
And they're connected, right? Like you can walk from one to the... You can walk from one home, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then they're all set. It's like Monster Hunter.
It's very
similar to...
But you can also... You can just fast travel between them?
You can fast travel around to different camps in each of them and stuff like that.
I think you always have to return back to your main little town before you go out into another new area that you've unlocked.
You can travel around to different points in the one, and then you go back to the camps, scientist guy and say like, hey, I'm sleepy, and he's like, we'll go home, man.
Yeah.
Also, apart from the Pokedex stuff, you are a member of the Survey Corps, which means you're surveying new Pokemon. So you progress your character by just catching new Pokemon and reporting them to Professor Fuckboy.
Right. Yep. And so that's a cool new thing about it, is that it is you in the world. You are walking around and you can be victim of Pokemon attacks.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of the times the ways that you will catch these Pokemon is more action and real-time based than it has been before, rather than these battles being like... they got better at them not being completely random, like in the last couple you've been able to sort of see them kind of walking around.
You see a Zubat on the horizon.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And Let's Go, those two games made them visible, right?
Yes, that was the first time they did that, I think. But but for the most part, they've still been very like traditional turn-based encounters. With this, a lot of the times, especially early on, the way that you're catching Pokemon is very real-time, sneaking around in tall grass, trying to sneak up behind them, maybe using stuff to distract them or stuff to stun them, and just throwing a Pokeball at them. And a lot of the time, if they're kind of a smaller one, that'll work. And then you've got it, you've got one ticked off, and you've got one caught, and maybe you need to catch three of them to get your little research level point thing in your Pokedex. But then other ones are a bit more hostile or a bit tougher, so then you have to do the traditional getting into a battle to weaken them and catch them. But even the way that you do that, you've always got the ability to kind of shuffle through the order of the Pokemon that you've got on you instead of going into a menu and reorganizing them, which you used to have to do. Like the switching from using a Pokeball in the wild to using one of your monsters in the wild is like so seamless and like, you know, coming up on a new one and having to work out, all right, how am I going to approach this?
Yeah.
I think this one's small enough. It hasn't seen me. I could probably just chuck a ball and I'll be fine. Or, yeah, it gets the element of surprise on you. It starts attacking you and you having to go, all right, well, the only way to do this is going to be to, like, actually take it on.
Yeah.
Like, those little moment-to-moment decisions.
They work just, really well.
They work great. Yeah.
It's crazy how well the real-time stuff in this game, like, the actual in-world, because the Pokemon game's kind of, at least one of the main ones, has never done it before.
Yeah.
Mm. It's been like the overworld has been close enough to a menu, really.
So this generally, I was about to say before, like it's open world in the sense that there's always stuff to tick off. There's always little tasks to go and like do. Like that, it scratches that part of the open world kind of game.
A lot of subquests.
Yeah.
A lot of subquests.
And this feels like, and yeah, I feel like we all felt the same about Sword and Shield.
Mm.
But the original Pokemons, you know, they kind of were a bit of like an introduction to a JRPG if you were a younger audience, which by the time Sword and Shield came around, because it was just the same thing again and again and again, it basically just felt like this very watered down, weak version of a JRPG, which if you've played heaps of them, it felt like it. I remember feeling at the time like Sword and Shield weren't using the world at all in any like interesting practical way. It was just like it could have been anything, like the dressing could have been anything, and this one,
or like Oregon Trail, just going like a little animation until you show up to the next Pokemon. You know what I mean, like moving around served no purpose and had no part of the game. It was just a function to get you from battle to battle.
But this like leans into the world and actually uses all this stuff about this this world that, you know, most of us have had been dipping in and out of for 20 years now. It actually uses all of the stuff that's great about Pokemon for the gameplay, rather than it just being like, it's just a JRPG and it just happens to be these little monsters. It's like stripping it back and making it like you're filling up the Pokedex and you're putting the emphasis on actually catching them all and filling up the Pokedex, rather than just like, it's just progression and you get your team and then you go through and that's it.
Right.
Like it really feels like it's leaning into the best aspects of what make this world so interesting.
I'm so much more invested in catching every Pokemon than I have been in any of the, because I think there's 240 and then you get a couple more bonus ones if you've got save files from like Sword and Shield or Diamond and Pearl remakes.
Oh.
Like you get an extra quest that can let you catch another one. But
okay.
It's a good variety of them taken from sort of all over the different eras and whatever. It's not like the first 240. And each of them in the world, they're all, for the most part, pretty similar in terms of what you've got to do to catch them. Mostly.
There's bits and pieces that are different kinds.
Because at some point you're in the ocean, at some point there's flying ones, and like there are different types of Pokeballs that like work differently for one. Like a heavy ball is better if they haven't seen you yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like a flying ball is better if they're fucking flying.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I just put that together.
And you get good feedback on, like, you know, if you're targeting a Pokemon, it'll show you a little thing of like how likely your ball is to catch it.
Yes.
And if you've caught it before and what research level you're up to and like all of that stuff.
You can target it and push down to sort of see the tasks that you've got left. So sometimes you might go, oh, I've actually caught plenty of them, but I don't have any points for defeating them yet. Oh, and I also get points if I defeat it with this type of move, like an electric move. So that you might, where you might have been about to throw a ball and catch it, instead you go, oh, all right, I'll beat the fuck out of this little thing.
Because you can research them just by beating them, some of them too.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so, like, all of that stuff has been good. I can see a point where it will get repetitive. And that hasn't happened for me yet, but I'm between 10 and 15 hours in or something like that.
Right.
So I haven't reached that yet, but this is such a minor thing because it's not really bothering me, but an area for improvement would be that those Pokemon could act more differently from one another in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, I am still enjoying what is there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think there's like there's a bit of variety here and there where there's some where it's just, but it still basically boils down to these ones are just fucking trusting and stupid and you can just catch them very easily by just chucking a ball at them. These ones maybe need a little finessing, like you need to have them distracted by a bit of food. And then these ones, like, you have to fight them in order to catch them. And there's some of them they've clearly worked on, like, the real specifics.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, tons of them where it's just like, whatever, this is just a fuck.
Because they have moves that they'll shoot at you, too. And so you can have all your Pokemon in your party get knocked out and then run home.
Yeah.
If you haven't been personally attacked by a Pokemon and knocked out, you're fine to keep moving around.
But you can also get completely knocked out if you don't bother battling, right? Like,
sure.
Hypothetically, it hasn't happened, but like if you're just like trying to run somewhere for some quest and Graveler keeps punching you, like,
yeah, you could just get knocked out and all your Pokemon are fine.
Yes.
And it does mean that like in Sword and Shield, again, I think a thing we all found pretty like dull about it was early on at least, it's just very simple where it's like you encounter a trainer, you just use the same move once or twice, you knock their thing out. This gets like not punishingly hard, but certainly more challenging and interesting very early on, even if only for the fact that you have to kind of think about your approach of how to catch these things, and you have to like analyze your Pokedex and go, okay, what are the three kind of things I haven't done yet with this one to get that last little, because you to get to the new areas you have to go up a rank each time, which is based on the points that you're getting for the different bits of research that you're doing. So you will hit a bit where it's like you can't quite get to the next level because you need another 300 points. So you go, all right, I've got to look through. What do I need to do with this guy? I've got to, you know, get a few more points with him and a few more points with him.
Yeah.
And it just means that it's not, I feel like in the early stages at least of Sword and Shield, you just kind of sleepwalk through it. There's no real finessing of your team. It's just like, pick a move and just use it again and again.
Sure. There's still a little bit of that. And like, I think it's had a bit of the first couple, two or three hours slog of just a lot of like, this is your house. You'll sleep here. Hey, we're going to, this is how you say or whatever.
Oh,
like,
the first half hour tutorial is just, dull.
There's still that Pokemon slowness. Right. But once you're doing the thing that this game wants you to do for the rest of it, it's immediately fun.
Yeah.
If
that makes sense.
I think I'm 6 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly starting to find it repetitive. Mm. Because so aside from this stuff, which is like what the diehards will get into, like they, you know, catching them all and fulfilling every research criteria is like how you'll 100% it, right? Yeah. Like if you really do find it enjoyable, that's what you'll do. But there is a story. There is a thing that's pushing you around the world aside from just trying to rank up and get more Pokemon.
There's a little boss in each area. Yeah. There's like a little loose story in each area that's kind of like
guiding
you.
I'm enjoying it.
Towards it. Yeah, it's very, it's dumb and Pokemon-y, but it's fine.
I'm liking it where it's just like someone has, there's like these kind of guardian Pokemon who are like the mascot of the area basically, who are descended from some god Pokemon they believe in. And they're angry because lightning struck them from this war pole.
Yeah.
And you've got to go through and do an action sequence with them, basically, because you've got like a dodge. That's how you avoid the Pokemon attacks out in the world.
Yep.
And these big boss Pokemon will attack you in like a little action scene that allows you, when the boss is like incapacitated, to fight it, to like further hurt it with your Pokemon. But that makes the boss battles more difficult.
You're better off just bombing them.
If you just flip around and you're just chucking these sacks of food at the Pokemon,
which you
have
unlimited of.
Rotten tomato cunt.
Yeah,
but that bit is a little bit where the kind of like old and new kind of like butt up against each other a bit, and it's like this doesn't. And also because you're doing it so sporadically, it's not finessed in the way that all the other stuff is. It's like, it's not bad, but it's like, it's a bit like, oh yeah.
I've kind of enjoyed it, honestly. It's just like a little weird thing to be doing in a Pokemon
game. Little palate cleanse.
Because they've got like their Pokemon attacks and you're dodging through them like a little, I don't want to say Dark Souls for every time you ever dodge, but I did.
Oh!
I enjoy, I just am liking all of the stuff it's making you do, because then, you know, you've got all these items you can craft out in the world using bits and pieces of rock and berries off trees that you're getting your Pokemon to pick up, and make those like stun balls or whatever, smoke bombs and stuff to help you catch Pokemon, or to make potions and revives and things like that, make new Pokeballs. Just that loop of like, gather these resources, go catch a Pokemon, look at what next Pokemon to catch, move around to the next bit. It's really good fun.
I'm 10 and a half hours in, and yeah, every time I find myself being a bit like, I think I'm starting to feel the repetition creep in a bit. Then I come around a corner and there's like, a, you know, you can just see like a whole little field of all new ones. Mm. And I get that little hit of like, oh, cool, I'm going to rack up some more pages here. Like I've hit a couple of times the feeling of like, yeah, okay, I can see this being a bit of a drag. And then like last night I finished the third area, but I don't quite have the fourth star yet. So it's like, all right, got to go back to those first two and finish off some little pages in there. And yeah, it keeps hooking me back in.
And there's just enough difference in some of the different areas inside of, you know, the little sections of areas, whatever, little spots that are designed to be like, well, there's no spots to hide here and you got all these magmas walking around. What are you going to do or whatever? And there's enough variety in that. Plus, you've got these like alpha Pokemon in the world. So the more traditional Pokemon stuff that they've kind of changed up is there are these alpha Pokemon who are just bigger, angrier versions of regular Pokemon. They're not new, but it's like, you know, existing one with like, it's big and got red eyes and they're a bit stronger.
Because, they're dotted around and they're very powerful, but there also are little areas where in within all the like main areas, there'll be like a little, you know, a little path or whatever that you can walk down and all of a sudden go, oh, wow, everything here is like way more powerful than my team. Right, each one has like a little pocket that you can just accidentally end up in where you're like, you're like, all right, you just assume that everything's kind of like at your same level and you go, yeah, come defeat this one. I haven't done that yet. And then it's like, oh my God, this thing's going to destroy me. This is like 15 levels above me.
It's just enough to make me want to explore it all.
Yeah.
And like, there's not the interesting like Breath of the Wild-y best versions of like open worldy games where you'll go somewhere and there's a cool story and there's a great character there or there's an interesting twist on it. Like, it is all kind of the same thing all over.
Yep.
But each of the variants of that thing are enough for me to be enjoying them. And then you're riding around this place on these like extra Pokemon who are like your buddies, where you've got a bear
and
you've got a deer.
You've
got all these different things who can take you to different areas. And that has been really like riding around quickly on that deer and being like, fuck you, every Pokemon. You can't catch me. I'm on a deer. It's good fun.
Well, that I think is, that's what mostly I've been doing. Like I've been fulfilling all of the research stuff. I haven't found any of it difficult though. Like I've not bothered with any crafting. Like I just haven't had to. Like I don't know why, but if you creep around, catch all the little ones, but battle a bunch of other ones, like you can, I've not got to the point where I'm like, I want to move to the next area. I can't. It's all just been like, boom, boom, boom. Like, put in the main quest. The guy's like, yeah. And then I'm like, can you also let me progress? No, I have to leave the mansion and then go back in. And he's like, okay, now you can go to the next area. Like, it's all seemed very easy, which was an issue that I had with Sword and Shield. It was like, I'm just hitting A over and over again.
There's more stuff as you've gone on that has been, this is definitely the least of the just boringly easy Pokemon games that there's been for a while for me, because like I'm losing to some stuff because I'm whipping through the main story trying to and then going and finding these ones that I can't quite attack and going like, I'm gonna though. And having a good time doing that because you can overcome it, and I haven't felt like I've had to grind and shit, but there are less of the trainer encounters like actual sort of fights against you know, like scripted fights or whatever. They still sort of happen throughout the story,
yes,
but it's definitely not as much of a focus.
Yep.
And I'm kind of missing that a bit.
Yeah.
I hope that at some point, I haven't finished it, obviously, but if there was like some kind of gladiator or arena or whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's no multiplayer in this one.
No.
Yeah.
You're not doing that online or whatever. There's not, I don't think there's even online trading.
Right.
Or anything like that.
Yeah. So I think this is so great. Like, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
It's better than I was expecting. And it's also, after Sword and Shield, this isn't a sort of game that I thought Game Freak had in them to make. Like, sure. I thought, like, Sword and Shield, we all thought, okay, well, it's always been on handheld. This is like, the Switch is a handheld, but it's a home console. This is like by far the most powerful hardware they've had to work with.
Yeah.
This will be the point where they refine it and they kind of do something a bit different with it. You know, they'll make it a bit more console-y, and they just absolutely did not. Yeah. And I felt like if they didn't do it then that's it. They're never doing it. They don't have the interest or the know-how or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the fact that they put this out and it is as good as it is, there's definitely room for improvement, and I'd love to see. But I also don't know where this leaves the brand, because it's I don't know how they then go back and make it. It feels like this is like an experiment, and if people hated it, they were just like, oh, it's a spin-off. But it feels like, by and large, people love this approach. So maybe this sort of stuff does get threaded into the next mainline one, or maybe the mainline ones continue as they have been, and then this is its own.
Mm.
I just don't really know where this is such a weird kind of halfway between feeling like a proper one, because I'd love to say, yeah, this plus it's more open world and they add in a bit more of those trainer encounters. But knowing Game Freak, it's like this will be it for now, 8 games in a row if they continue on with this brand.
I hope not, because there's so much room for them to make this really great. Like, I'm really enjoying the loop that's in there, but it's thin. This is the first version of what they're doing. So it is like the basics that you need, and they're all really good and I'm liking that and enjoying it. But there's tons of stuff on top of that you can see if you've played Breath of the Wild and shit. Like, again,
they need to team up with a different developer for the next one of these.
Because especially, so the biggest negative point of this is that it's like technically fucking weird and bad, and it looks like it came out more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
It looks like a Wii U port.
It's crazy.
The shadows are like 5 pixels.
Yeah.
Like all of the like textures on your clothing that looks design-wise really cool.
Design-wise,
all of that stuff
it's great,
is good.
Yeah.
The art direction is, and I'm playing it on the, I'm playing it only in handheld. I chucked it on the TV for a little bit just to see what it looked like. And it looked, this is a really good ad for, if you want to get this game, or if you have this game and you've been thinking about an OLED Switch, this is it pops on that screen. It looks way better handheld. The colors look very vibrant on the screen. The art direction of the design is all great, I think. Like, the character design, the town is great. I'm loving the music.
Yeah.
It's just technically, it's like, and it's not running bad in the sense that it's like, it's struggling to run. They've just deliberately limited it because, and I keep seeing online people going like, oh yeah, but it's a Switch game, and then someone will post a screenshot of Dragon Quest XI, which environments look great in. So
again, not to, this isn't Breath of the Wild, but like, just because you could see the improvements to this that could be made in that game, that looks a ton better than this.
And it came
out at the start of the Switch. So like it
but Game Freak are a notoriously technically weird company where they seem to not really know how to make games. So the fact that this is as good as it is like is and the fact that it exists at all is surprising and great. Yeah. And I think we were talking about this the other day that it's technically it's not up to par with even other stuff on the Switch.
No.
But they've just nailed the gameplay loop so much that there's certain games it's like they don't run properly, and it's like that probably is a put off for some people, but it's not really bothersome when you're playing it, because it's the moment to moment is so fun.
It's the same, now that I'm thinking about it, as those first couple of Pokemon games where it is simple and, like, you know, it is technically behind where a lot of other games are. And in terms of the gameplay, like, it's not as complex as, you know, back in the day Pokemon wasn't Final Fantasy VII or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the thing that is there is done well, and it is moorish, and it is enjoyable, and it is thought out in the smaller context of what it's trying to do, maybe, that it totally works. And I'm really enjoying it and wanting to play more of it all the time. And, like, I'm so surprised how much I've liked this compared
to
how much I've liked any Pokemon game for more than a decade.
It's definitely, like I said, the best Pokemon game since the first one, in my opinion.
This is the only sort of style of it I want to play. And I'm really fascinated to see what they do from here. And it's every now and then there'll be a new game that comes out on like the PC or the PlayStation that's like a rip-off of this kind of, or like an indie will go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, this
is a new Pokemon, the Pokemon replacement.
Yeah. It's like they'll do everything but say, hey, this, what if Pokemon didn't look like complete shit? And
right.
It's like, you look at it and it looks pretty and everything, but it just never has that same appeal because it's just not that, there's just something about that that world and that specific, like, these little cunts walking around. Seeing a little Pikachu for the first time, I was like, oh, hell yeah, there he is. Yeah, he's just walking around.
Yeah. Dude, Pikachu's in this game? You kidding me?
Yeah. But it's like you can't recreate that with just going like, hey, we've made the same thing and we've come up with our own monsters and I'm sure you'll find them just as interesting. It's like there's just something about it that even though a lot of these I don't have the nostalgic attachment to
because I've been
tapped out, it's just something about the overall, like, feel of this world that is more satisfying than a kind of an indie version of it that runs a lot better and looks a lot better. So it's like, yeah, this is just what it is. This is what you got to cop if you want to play this new Pokemon game.
And that's worth making a point of is I'm not enjoying this because it's nostalgically pleasing to me. This is a good current game that feels like it was made 15 years ago.
And
let's put this out. Fuck.
You should be aware if you're relying on our review, which I know people do now, which is very nice of them.
Yeah.
It does, graphically, it's bad.
Yes.
Like, it is bad. And I do genuinely think, like, if you're running around on those animals a lot, you do realize, like, the area design is, like, a nice, easy bit with a bunch of trees and low-level Pokemon, and then a bridge.
Yeah.
And then, oh, you have to go set up a camp with this person where you're going to run through a linear bit with a lot of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a little cuts. Like, it is repetitive in that sense as well.
They change them up as the more areas you get into a bit. But yeah, it's none of it's significantly different where, like,
the environmental design isn't, like, it's very bare bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. And you get some water and you get some air and you get some fire and you get some different things all over the shop.
But, and like, I was honestly surprised where it was like the story bits where it's like, The first thing is like, oh, there's this Pokemon and it's gone mad.
Yeah.
And then it turns out the second story bit is like, oh, there's this Pokemon and it's gone mad. I was like, it's the same thing again. Well, and then it's the third time.
But
it's
that's like, what the next bosses one, they're in like every the area, Pokemon. They're like frenzied.
Its dad died in the ocean and then it goes mad at the end.
Yeah.
Not to give away the story of Pokemon, but like, they've changed it up for me enough, honestly, that it's been interesting. But yes, it's not amazing. But for a Pokemon game, it is the best they've done in so, so long.
Yeah.
And I want to see the room for improvement that this game has get fulfilled
for
the first time for a long time with this series too. Where there's lots of stuff you could do to make it better. But the stuff that's there is keeping me coming back and like will do for a while.
Yeah,
so
like I'm 10 and a bit hours in and I'm still really enjoying it. So I think definitely, if you're someone that did ever enjoy one of these games and you checked out somewhere along the way, wherever that was, I definitely think give this a go.
Yeah.
Like if you think that you're done, because I, after Sword and Shield, I was like, I guess I'm just out. And I really enjoyed new Pokemon Snap, but that's a completely different style of thing. But this makes me feel like that did, where it's like, yeah, this is what I wanted to see this world look like and feel like when I was a little kid. And Sword and Shield didn't do that. It just had a kind of slightly nicer coat of paint. But it didn't make me feel like I was in like a living, breathing world. It was just an old style JRPG with some nicer graphics.
Yep.
This makes me feel like I'm actually in that world.
It gets much closer to that than they have for a while.
Yeah.
Like you can easily see, especially in graphically, the seams and like, yes, it kind of, it's not changing enormously throughout its thing, but the thing that you're doing again and again is fun to do again and again. And they're changing it up enough in those worlds. And, like, yes, there isn't the adventure game quest stuff that makes worlds feel like that living, breathing world for me. But this is doing something that feels good.
But, yeah, I'm having that thing that I had back in the day of, like, I've got my little party.
Yeah.
And then I get a new guy that looks cool and I'm like,
Fuck you, Psyduck.
I should probably give him a run, but I don't know. I don't want to mix up my team. And then it's like one of them can evolve and I'm like, I'm liking him.
Gengar.
I'm this guy. Yeah. I evolved to Psyduck into the fucking whatever he Golduck? Turns into. I was like, I hate this. I'm going back and catching another Psyduck and getting him up to level 30 where my other guy was.
Yeah.
And just all that stuff, which it's like, I haven't had that in a Pokemon game since. Yeah, I guess Gold and Silver were the last ones like I properly played through.
Right.
Same. This is, they've done it. They've made Pokemon a fun game again.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I really hope they keep it up with this as a series and like build on the stuff that they could build on with this because it is a fun, good game.
Yeah.
And I think even if you've never played a Pokemon game before,
yeah,
this is the one to give a shot if you were going to.
Yep, I
if
would agree with that.
If you've played Pokemon before and actively didn't like it, this maybe isn't different enough. It is still a Pokemon game.
You'll probably be more annoyed with, like you said, the visible seams.
And this isn't like an action game or an open world game or any. It's no. still a Pokemon game with yeah. that put on top.
I yeah. mean, if you fundamentally hate Pokemon for a lot of the things that it's doing, I dare say you probably don't own a Switch.
Maybe. But yeah. I don't know, man. There's like a generation of people who have grown up with Pokemon games being bad.
Yeah.
True.
So,
yeah.
I don't know what the... But hey, if you like Pokemon, the numbers show you've already bought this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's been cool seeing in the Discord and on the Facebook this week. Like, yeah, a lot of people really loving it. Mm. Someone asked how many hours have you put in and what star ranking are you on? And it was fun imagining that people's star rankings were actually a rating of what they thought the game was worth.
Because you're
getting people go, 12 and a half hours, 2 stars. It's like, wow, that's a lot of time to put into a game that you think is a 2 out of 5.
That's the other thing. Is there is a ton more of this game to go. Like from yeah, the point that we're yeah. up to being like, yeah, all sub 15 hours.
Yeah, you can big, you can kind of cruise game. Through it, but it really does have that thing of making you feel like what you said, that all that you get is the shiny little... ball next to the
yeah. number. I
you've done all of it.
Though,
it's
man.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean by like it's open world game in that sense of like, and yeah, a lot of the side yeah. quests are like just go and bring me this. It's all pointless stuff, but you see that little menu of them, and it's like, fuck, I got to get those little green ticks. I got to get. You know, when you're in the town and it's like you can see the little dots of yeah. where you've got to go to get new ones. Yeah. It's like I fucking need these out of my field of vision. I need to get them done.
Scrape up $5,000 to get that guy to show me how to fit one more thing into my bag.
Oh yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Get some more potato mochi.
The clothes are great. The all these yeah. things. That's really good. Yeah. yeah, fun game. Enjoying it. Great start to the year.
Yeah.
Great first game
time.
Of the year. We're
yeah,
back, baby.
Yeah.
We will be back next week. We'll be talking Dying Light 2, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Early
sure,
word's
man.
Good.
Yeah.
You Why know not? What?
It's my job.
Yeah.
I play a video game.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
And then the week after that, we will be doing Uncharted, the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Cool.
So yeah, we're planning to do that as it comes out. So if that
yes.
just to give people enough notice to plan their
true
plan their weeks.
We'd be going on the first day it's out in Australia, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then it'd be the next episode after that. But like, and that is pending that cinemas are still open, which they should be, or that we're
yeah.
all able to
yeah.
go and whatever.
Yeah.
But.
Let it rip, man. We're not going back into lockdown
yeah.
ever.
Just letting people know. You
yes.
know, we'll be talking about that movie early days. So
if you're scared about spoilers
yeah.
for
yeah.
the Uncharted movie.
Wait, Mark Wahlberg's back. Oh, well, whatever. I couldn't see.
Mark Wahlberg's bad.
Mark
Wahlberg.
What the fuck? You fucking spoiled me.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all of our social stuff. We've also got the Patreon. You can get a bonus episode every week where we talk pop culture that's
yeah.
not video games.
Yeah.
We've got the Bandcamp, the premium episodes on there. We've got the YouTube channel where we're putting up 2 videos a week. We got
so
our
much
back
content.
Doing our Detroit Become Humans. We put up us playing Jackass, the video game, to celebrate the release of the movie.
I think tomorrow or the next day, if you listen to this right when it comes out, that's when
yep.
that'll be
yep.
out.
I won't
yep.
have time to edit it. In four. Oh, maybe I will.
I'll do it tomorrow morning because I've got all the files here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll be out soon.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, I've got a pocket monster for you right here.
It's not bigger.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.